is found the tail end of the Gospel of Matthew, the last words of Matthew, the last thing that Matthew records Jesus saying, probably familiar words, but listen to them again and listen in them for something new to us today. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped, and some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and remember that I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The word of the Lord. Let's pray with me. Lord, now be with us as we move between worship and doubt. Remind us. Help us remember. And even, gracious God, send us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I think if you've gone to church at all, if you've been in church very much at all in your life, and that's not a criticism if you haven't, but if you have, you've heard these words. You probably know this passage. This is a big one. This has been extremely important in the history of Christianity. It's most often called the Great Commission. Its importance and its impact on our faith community's life has been hard to overstate. This has been the inspiration and the guidance for individuals and organizations, missionary movements, seminaries. These words are inscribed on buildings and over the doors of churches. There's a lot here. This is a cornerstone idea of the Western missionary movement, and everything about that movement hasn't been positive, but much of it has, and much of it is summarized by these words in Matthew, not just in the American church, but throughout all times and places. People found in this Great Commission a direction, a calling, a mission. Go into all the world and make disciples. Now, that sounds pretty straightforward, even obvious. But there's more going on in these words than the surface. And to get there, I have to ask you to bear with me for a few minutes. I have to do some word stuff. And it has to do with what we call an imperative. And whether you remember it or not, your high school English teacher tried to teach you that an imperative is a command. It's an order. It's being told to do something. And in English, we convey commands with the inflection and the intensity of our voice. We communicate imperatives by how we sound. So, come here. Oh, stop it. Clean your room. Come here. Stop it. Clean your room. And because it's Father's Day, it should be noted that nobody is better at imperatives than dads. With the tone of a single word, you know whether it's a suggestion or an order. But there are some languages, like Greek, the language of the New Testament, in which they handle commands, imperatives, differently. They actually make some changes to the pronunciation and the spelling of the word. So they give you a clue as you're reading it that it's a command. You don't need to hear it in voice. They handle that in the text. And in the Great Commission, I think if you ask people, most people are going to assume that the command that's written in the text is go. Go into the world. That's how we have typically heard it. That's how we typically read it. Except that it's not. Go is not the imperative. Make disciples is the imperative. Go is an assumed thing in the text. You're going to go. Now, some scholars argue that because go is connected, it's also an imperative. But technically speaking, the way it's written, go is not the primary idea. And if that's correct, if you buy that idea that go isn't the imperative, then go might not even be translated correctly. Because the way it's written, the best translation of the word go would be something like as you go, or as you are going into the world, teach and baptize and remember. That's how the command is carried out. And what's interesting, at least to me, is that we have tended, I think, to put the emphasis on going, on where people went, on where they were willing to go. The church has, throughout our lifetime, celebrated those brave disciples who went off to remote and strange and even dangerous places, partly because their commitment is impressive, and partly because for a while we got kind of lazy and assumed that, well, the people that we know, the people who live where we live, have already heard the gospel. And like we still do, nearly every church for the past 100 years or more has supported and sent and received those we call missionaries. Those rare Christians who heard a call to go share good news. And without a doubt, that is certainly a beautiful pursuit and a wonderful calling. But what it isn't is rare. There's nothing rare about it. It's for everyone. The command Jesus gives is go make disciples. Going is assumed in the passage as you go, wherever you go. The imperative is disciple making by teaching, by living, by baptizing, which means bringing people in, by remembering Jesus' words. That's the work that Jesus is describing. That's the commissioning. The going is taken for granted. We're all going to go somewhere. And Jesus says, when you get there, here's the work you have to do. And I think for a while we forgot that. We kind of thought that gospel sharing was the job of preachers and missionaries that happened only in pulpits and faraway places. And the idea that we were all commissioned kind of slipped for a while. But if you look at the early church, the idea was that everyone is a missionary. Everyone is a sent one. We're just not all sent to far off places. Some are. Paul was. Many others are. But then as now, most of us are just called to bloom where we're planted. Do the work of disciple making where you are and where you already go. That really hasn't changed, friends. That's still true. Every single one of us in this room this morning knows a person or more, someone in our circle, who's not a believer. Or at the very least, they're not connected to a church. Every single one of us have people in our family group, our friend group, who don't go to church. And that means that every single one of us has at least someone that we have the opportunity to pray for, to consider inviting to visit church with us, to send them a link to one of our services. They may not go. They may not be interested. But very few people get mad about being invited. Each of us who call ourselves Christians are therefore also called to work on disciple making, on Jesus sharing. And it is very unlikely that people who don't know Jesus ever get to know him without an introduction from someone who does. It almost never happens without the work of someone who is already in the faith. Many years ago, a church member who has since gone on to glory came into the office. They had visited some church somewhere. I don't remember the exact details. But at that church, they had a sign or signs in the parking lot, and it said, "You are now entering the mission field." And he came into the office and he said, "We should have those signs." In fact, I don't know if I remember it exactly right. I think he might have brought the signs with him. I think he already had the signs made and brought them to me and said, "Here, we should put these up." And if I'm being honest, I think maybe I was a little unsure about the idea. I'm kind of generally skeptical about slogans and signs and their impact on people. I think people should impact people. But we put them up, and they did really well. People loved them, got lots of comments. People said they were helpful. I think they did kind of get the idea across, a sort of general reminder. You've been to church. Now, go act like a Christian. Go treat people the way Jesus said to treat them. Go keep your priorities straight. Keep kingdom stuff first. Remember that there are people who don't know Jesus, and they need people who do know him to help them. And they're watching you. And they need to see real faith in real people. Now, that's a lot of work for a sign to carry, but it's, I think, all in there. And for a while, I think they were pretty good. Then we got used to them. And familiar things sometimes lose their impact. In fact, I hate admitting this, but when I was writing this sermon, I'll confess to you that I found myself wondering, do we still have those? I honestly didn't know if they were still there. I had to look out my office window to see if I could find them. And if you don't know, I'm going to let you explore that for yourself. That's the struggle that Christians have always faced. We forget things. We forget that we are sent. We forget that we are disciple makers. That we are missionaries. Friends, in not too long from now, you're going to leave this building. You're going to leave this campus. And you are going to go into the world, to the store, or the restaurant, or the lake, or the park, or your home, wherever. You're going there. You're already going to do that. And wherever it is that you go, what we must remember is that we already have a calling that lives there. A great commission to make disciples, to share Jesus. That means that each one of you is a missionary, an ambassador. If you follow Jesus Christ, then you have a job. Represent him to and share him with others. And for most of us, that's not some far-off job in a distant, strange land. It's a local gig where you live, where you work, where you come to church. So people of FPC, go into the world. And as you go, all along the way, share Jesus Christ with others. Amen.